Bezat Hashem, we're going to be learning on the parasha, Parashat Hukat. We're going to be using the teachings of the Tzaddik, Rabbi Natan of Breslev. And the first idea we're going to talk about is Itbodidut. In this week's parasha, we have many different topics. We have the passing of Miriam and Aaron, the prophets. We have the idea of the snake, and the snake becoming healing and a symbol for healing to this day, to this generation. It's still the same symbol that Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem came up with, putting the snake on the staff for everybody to look at. We have the hitting of the rock by Moshe when he was told to speak to the rock, and he hit it. A lot of different things going on in the parasha. It's a very jam-packed parasha. We have the red heifer, the parah adumah, and the purity that came with that. And the first idea we're going to talk about is this idea of v'dibartem el ha-sela. You shall speak to the rock. The nation needed water. Hashem says, time to show them another miracle. Take your staff and talk to the rock. Take your staff was a trick. And Moshe had been getting pushed by the nation quite a bit. And he was had been walking on eggshells for some time dealing with the Jewish people. And in his distraction, instead of talking, he hit it. And water came out. But that's not what Hashem told him to do. And because of that event, Moshe and Aaron were not able to come into the land of Israel. That was the reason. It says it in the parasha outright. We're not going into the land of Israel because of what happened in Meimei Riva. The waters of the fighting, of the non-stop noise that the Am Yisrael was putting into the ears of Moshe Rabbeinu, to the point where he hit the rock. V'dibartem el ha-sela. The Torah, though, the commandment of Hashem was, you shall speak to the rock. Reb Natan says a beautiful thing. This is from the halachot of Birkat Kohanim, Nesiat Kapayim. מי שאינו משתדל להתבודד ולדבר בינו לבין קונו, לעורר ליבו להשם יתברך. Whoever doesn't try to take time to sit by themselves, to talk to their creator, to arouse their heart to a connection to Hashem, blessed be. זה בחינת מחלוקת. That's the aspect of fighting, of disagreements, of disputes. חלק ליבם. Their heart was torn, their heart was in two. Ki libo halak mipiv. What does that mean? That the heart was detached. The heart was detached from the mouth. Meaning, I say one thing and I'm feeling another thing. Like we all know in America. Oh, hi, how are you? I haven't seen you in so long. Just that long tone tells me where your heart is. Right? We don't want to be like that. We're in Israel here, it'd be like, what's up, man? And you know he's madly in love with you. There's no difference. Just, I got something to do right now. It's okay. Keep it short. I love you. I'm thinking about you. You can see it all in the body language that you're connected to the person. No foolishness. No games. We don't want to have one mouth and one heart separate from each other. We want them to be in a covenant. We want them to be saying and expressing the exact same thing. And the kudak dosha, what is the holy point? What is the holy point? That's pi daber chokhmot. My mouth will speak wisdoms. My mouth will speak deep things. V'chen kshechas v'shalom en shalom b'Yisrael. When there isn't peace in Am Yisrael. V'afilu kshein machloket. And even when there isn't machloket necessarily, just there isn't love between people. There's no problem. The only problem is that there isn't connection. There isn't love. Az enam yecholim ledaber ze im ze kerui la'iru ze b'ze o hanekuda ha'gedusha. When there's no love between people, then there's no connection, then there's no conversation, there's no interaction, and then you can't speak about the one holy point. What's the one holy point? That each one has, that each one needs to illuminate to the other. Mikol sheken kshecholkim chas v'shalom al tzadik ha'emet. Even more so, if there's a problem, and there's a machlok, and there's disagreements against the true tzadik. Shu ikar nikuda haklalit shel Yisrael. The tzaddik is the main aspect of the all-encompassing point. That within him, he has a point inside of him that encompasses all of the sanctity that is called Israel. He has it inside of him. And if you have a problem with that person, You have a problem with the true tzaddik of the generation, as ein yicholim lekabel or hanikuda shelo. Then you can't receive his unique point, and his unique point is the whole entire nation. And you think you have achdut, and you can be connected to all the people in the world, but if you're not connected to the holiest human being alive, that includes everything else inside of him, so then you're still in a point of disconnect, so to say. Like each body part that we have has a special unique quality that we need. They all are part of the body. If we had complete peace from here down, and we had nothing to do with the head, we didn't want anything to do with the head or with the heart, could we say our body is healthy? Could we say our body is whole? The most essential part of it all is missing. It doesn't matter that everything else is together. ולפעמים מתגבר פגם המחלוקת כל כך עד שמבלבל חסושם גם דעת הצדיק. Sometimes the blemish and the negative aspects of מחלוקת, of disagreement, of dispute, of lack of love become so intense that they can even make a blemish in the דעת, in the mind of the צדיק. ויוכל לגרום חס ושלום הסתלקות הצדיק על ידי זה. It can even cause for the צדיק to pass away because of this. וזה גרם מה שנכשל משה בהקעת הצור על ידי המחלוקת. This was the reason. Because of the fighting, because of all the disagreements, because of all the dispute between Am Yisrael and against Moshe, Moshe ended up hitting the rock and not talking to it. And because of that, he wasn't able to go into Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't go into the land of Israel. And all the reason that we're in Galut for so long, three temples, over 3,000 years nearly of balagan, of mess. All of that happened because Moshe, the Mashiach, didn't walk into the land of Israel with his people. Moshe was the Mashiach. If he would have stepped into the Eretz Yisrael, the first Beit Mikdash would be the last Beit Mikdash. Because if Moshe is in Eretz Yisrael, there's no way you can come against the Jewish people. There's no way that you can ruin the connection. There's no way that we'd be kicked out into exile. Moshe was always there to defend us and always there to fighting for us. And all of the galut, all of this exile that we've been experiencing is all because of those same fights that happened in Mei Meriva that caused Moshe to hit the rock. The blemish was so bad, the fighting was so bad that it even ruined the mind of Moshe Rabbeinu, the choicest person to ever live, like the Rambam says. The number one human to ever live, and that will ever live. Even Mashiach won't top Moshe. It's the same soul. That version of Moshe, then, number one human to ever live. And even he was affected by people fighting, by the lack of love between the hearts of people. V'chenu b'chol dor v'dor, so too it's in every single generation. Hashem yitbarach, yirachem, v'yitaken hakol letovah mehashem, have mercy on us, and fix everything and bring everything back to the good. And also this is the story of the Arizal. The Arizal, at a certain point, told all the students not to fight, not to fight, not to fight, never to fight. And one time the Arizal said, Erev Shabbat, come, let's go, we're all going to Jerusalem. Started a thing, we have to talk to the wives, we have to this, but what about that, this, that, and the other. The tzaddik said, let's go to Yerushalayim, we're bringing Mashiach. They had to back and forth, and all of that back and forth of, do we listen to the Rav, but what about our wives, do we stay, what about Tzfat, this, all of those questions in the machloket that started, the Talmidim started to disagree amongst them. The Arizal passed away not too long after that. Came the Rashash after to do the Tikkun. The Rashash that we know is the Gilgul of the Arizal. Name is of his yeshiva, Avat Chavirim. Name of his books, Nahar Shalom. Everything about peace, everything about friendship, everything about love. Everything that the Rashash as a Gilgul of the Arizal was doing was to increase peace and to increase love between the chevre, between the friends, to try to fix this idea, to try to bring more peace and love between people, because we need it. And if we don't have it, you might not even know who the holiest person in the world is to connect to. First of all, the Chatam Sofer, Chidush Arim, one of them says, you don't have to know who it is, you just have to connect yourself to him. Meaning all of us as Jews, when we come to pray, we don't, God forbid, to pray to a man, especially not a Jewish man, especially not if they're dead, especially not if they're alive. No case, form, shape, is it allowed to pray to a man. No way at all. But when we come to pray to Hashem, we have to connect our mind to the most powerful and connected mind that we have in the world. And together we pray to Hashem. Together we serve Hashem. You don't have to have any inclination of who that person is. You just have to know that that holiest man in the world exists, and we're connecting our mind to his, and we're serving Hashem together. With that said, if you have friends that you're fighting with, people around you that you're fighting with, that you don't get along with, that you're in disagreement with, good luck. Good luck connecting up that high. Good luck making it to the unique point where everything is included if from down below you have problems. Like we know with the Kohen, right? The Kohen would come, the Kohen halachically, to this day, is not allowed to stand up to give a blessing to the nation, to the congregation, if there's a person in the crowd that he doesn't like. To this day, that's halacha. You can't even be a conduit for the blessings of God to come down. It's not your blessing, it's God blessing the people. You're not fit to bless the people for God if you have a problem with the people in the crowd. It's very, very important, and we have to be connected to the tzaddik, because that's where the unique point of all the peace and the unity comes down from. We touched this on this idea of Moshe and Aaron passing away. It says, "Vayomer Adonai Moshe ve'el Aaron behor ahar al gvul eretz Edom." Moshe starts, Hashem starts to speak to Moshe and Aaron about their passing, to prepare their burial. And both of them are buried on the borders of Israel, one in Moab and one in Edom. Moshe and Aaron, they passed away, like we said, on the borders of Israel. Why? Reb Natan says, "Ki mechamat avonot Yisrael lo yachlu ligmor b'chayim lichvosh elu ha-mitzarim." Because of the sins of Israel, they weren't able to, in their lifetime, Moshe and Aaron, to conquer all of these straits, these narrow paths into the land of Israel. Mitzarim, not Mitzrayim, Mitzarim, constraints, hardships, on the way to Eretz Yisrael, which is Dat, which is connection, which is Emunah. On that path, there's ways, narrow straits that you have to get into, that you have to bring the nation through. And they wanted to conquer these paths, the paths into Eretz Yisrael, to make it easier for the rest of the times. But because of our sins, they weren't able to. Aval gedolim tzaddikim b'mitatam yoter mibechayim. We have a principle that tzaddikim, when they pass away, when they die, are higher than when they are alive. Sof kol sof yichbeshu kol elu ha-metzarim. If that's the case, then it has to be in the end. Whenever the end comes, whenever that time comes, Moshe and Aaron will conquer these straits, these paths into the land of Israel. Shem nigvezu sham. ועל כן דקדקה התורה ובהרה במיטת משה ואהרון שהיו בגבול ארץ אדום וארץ מואב. Therefore the Torah was very precise and made it an Indian, made it an idea, a thing to emphasize where was it that Moshe and Aaron were buried. Where was it that they died? Where are they located? Not the exact location, because again, the rabbis say that for a few different reasons, Moshe's grave is not revealed to the nation of Israel. One, number one reason, that Hashem needs the Galut process to happen, and He has His plan. And if we were to know where Moshe is buried, we would come there, and the power of that tefillah would remove the decrees of Galut. And Hashem doesn't want His hand being pushed. He has His process, we have to trust the process. No, that's one reason. Another reason is, you can't know where Moshe is. Moshe's kever is too powerful. The amount of Avodah Zarah that would happen against our wills, not even intentionally, that level of power is so strong, we wouldn't be able to handle it. We would most likely fall into Avodah Zarah. We see this happening to other tzaddikim that are also extremely holy. Imagine Moshe Rabbein. It's too much for us to handle. So we don't know where they are exactly, but we know where they did where they were buried approximately. And it was on the, one was in Moab, and one was in Edom.
Not together.
They were buried in two different places. Moshe in front of Beit Peor, in front of Peor, and Aaron Hor Ahar. Hor Ahar, that's what it was called.
Is there a reason why Aaron's grave?
We know where it is. Mm-hmm. People go there every year. It's in Jordan. Just to go up mountains. But the Jordan people, the Palestinians, they're not Jordan people. It's the Arabs, collection of Arabs that they call themselves Palestinians that live in Jordan and make up 70% of their nation, have a tradition of where the kever of Aaron is. And there's Hasidim that go every year, Jalabiya, Kafia, donkeys up the mountain. And beautiful videos come out of the prayers, the songs that go on in Aaron HaKohen. Very, very special place. Like it says in the death of Aaron, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron behor ahar al gvul eretz Edom. Yasef Aaron. That's where Aaron will be gathered from. V'chen Moshe. So to on Moshe it says, V'igborato be'gai, he will be buried in the valley, be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav. Kikar gnizatam sham haya. The main aspect of hiding them, of burying them, of concealing them, was there. Why? Shehem mitzarei kedusha. Moab and Edom are our biggest enemies. They're the ones that are always causing pain and restricting and trying to limit sanctity in the world. They're the borders of the land of Israel. They're what keep the land of Israel from spreading, from emuna and dvekut and God consciousness going out all over the world. These two places limit that expansion, limit that consciousness, and that's why Moshe and Aaron were buried specifically in the hardest two places, the two places that limit God consciousness in the world. They're on the borders of Israel, Moshe and Aaron, and so is Le'avdil Moab and Edom, because that is the main war. The main war is to conquer these constraints, these hard places that don't let the people into the land of Israel. Al ken istalku Moshe ve'Aaron ve'nikbu sham kedei shebegodel kocham yikbashu gam mitzarim elu. Therefore they were buried there, so that by way of their sanctity, the power of the holiness that they have, they will in the end conquer these two straits, these two places into the land of Israel. And then everyone will be able to come inside the land of Israel. Ulechavsha lanu le'olam b'mehera ve'yamenu amen, says Rabbi Nathan. All of us will be able to come into the land of Israel and to conquer it speedily in our days for all eternity. Amen. Kenei Ratzon. Zat Hashem. We're going to keep going on. Another idea, because it's a beautiful idea. In this parasha, the Jewish people, some of the people that make up the Jewish people, complained about the man. They complained about this divine, heavenly substance, bread that came down from the heavens every day for us to eat. And the pasuk says, "V'nafshenu katsa balechem aklokel." We'll start from before. "V'idaber ha'am be'elohim uve'moshe." The nation starts to talk about God, starts to talk about Moshe. Why did you take us out of Egypt for us to die in the desert? Ki ein lechem, there's no bread. Ve ein mayim, there's no water. Ve nafshenu katsa balechem aklokel. And our nefesh, our body, our soul has had enough of this cursed bread. What's going on here? After that came the snakes, and then there was a plague, and the snakes started to come inside the people and everything. How are you complaining about man, about godly bread from the heavens that has any taste you could ever want in life? You think about whatever food it is that you want. In one bite you have that taste. Next bite you could have another taste. You could do whatever you want. Divine bread that you can mold it however you want. And if you don't have any kavanah, any intention, it tastes like honey. What's wrong? How could you complain on such a thing? It goes perfectly inside every single body part. No need to go to the bathroom. Immense satiation from just a bite. Whatever you need, everything is perfect. How do you complain about such bread? It's a deep idea that we have to understand. Rabbi Nathan gives amazing insight to this. Haman haya bo kol ha'ta'amim sharatza adam. Man had any taste that you could ever want. אבל כפי המובן בתורה הוא שגם אז היה להם בחירה ברצונם הזה. As we know from Torah, people have free will. So although the man had any taste you could want in the world, it had all of the different vitamins and things and nutrients that any food in the world could give you, even then the Jewish people had free will. כי הרשעים שביזו את המן לא היו רוצים להרגיש בו כל הטעמים. The wicked people then that complained and disgraced and looked down and made cheap the man, this heavenly bread, they didn't want to have all the tastes of the world. Al ken bizu oto v'amu. Therefore, they disgraced the man and they said, "V'nafshenu katza balechem aklokel." My body, I don't even want that anymore. I don't want that food. Push it away. I don't want it. Like that. Disrespect. God's providing you heavenly food and you look down on it like, I don't even want it. What did they complain about a few weeks ago? I want garlic. I want watermelons. I want onions from the ground of Egypt. I can't take this food anymore. So too it went on. They complained again and again and again. Therefore it says,
they ate garlic.
The slaves ate from the ground, yeah. V'yancha v'yarivecha v'yachilcha et aman asher lo yedata. Amachilcha man b'midbar leman anotcha leman nasotecha. The Torah tells us outright, it's God that fed you man in the desert. Why? Anotecha leman nasotecha. I wanted to inflict you. I wanted to give you a test. Hashem says outright, this divine bread, it's a test. It's not going to be easy to have this. I'm afflicting you in order to test you. Test is nisayon. A banner or a flag to lift something up is also the same word, nes. You can look at it either way. V'chen k'tiv, so too it's written, Hineni mamtir lechem lechem min ha-shamayim lemana nasenu ha-yelech betorati im lo. Here I am bringing down bread from the heavens in order to test you. Are you going to walk with my Torah or not? The man is connected to a very big test. Hashem tells him outright, this is a test. V'chen od v'chama psukim ne'emar b'shachilat ha-man ha-ya nisayon. Reb Natan says, and there's a few other psukim in the Torah that tell us outright, the eating of the man was a test. This is the idea that the rabbi said to us in Masechet Yoma. Ein dome ro'eh ve'ochel le'eno ro'eh ve'ochel. A person who sees his food and eats is not like a person who can't see his food and eats. Just for example, take a blind person. A blind person eating, and you eating right next to him the same amount of food, two different outcomes. Same exact amount of food, of the same type of food, two different outcomes. היינו שהחולקים על המן רצו שיהיו דייקה בעיניהם כל המאכלים המוכנים ומסודים לפניהם לאוכלם ולא רצו לאכול מן ברצון טוב להרגיש בו כל הטעמים. The people that had a problem with the man, what was it? I don't want to eat God food that I can mold and think about and take it anywhere. Give me a steak. I want to see steak in front of my eyes. I want to see what I'm eating. I want to choose and pick and I want it physically in front of me, the same texture, the same taste. I want the steak and the broccoli and the rice. Not the man that could taste like broccoli, steak, and rice. Because a person who sees food and eats it is not like a person who can't see the food and eat it. And the people that were eating the man, so to say, they couldn't see their food. They wanted to eat whatever it was, they wanted to taste it, but they couldn't see it, it wasn't that. They didn't want to feel all the good feelings and taste that could come out of the man. ומאחר שלא רצו להרגיש בוודאי לא הרגישו. Since they didn't want to taste it and feel it, so then they for sure did not taste and feel it. If you don't want it, it's not going to happen. Al ken bizu oto v'chatu b'ze harbe. Therefore they disgraced the man, and they made a huge sin again and again and again. They made this mistake of talking bad about the man. Shezeu ha-chet shelem mit'oninim u'mevakshim te'ona lifrosh min ha-makom. שעל ידי זה מתו הרבה וקראו למקום ההוא קברות התאווה, כי שם קברו את העם המתאבים. These people had lusts. Certain people then in the desert, they had such lust for the flesh of the blood between their teeth. They had to get, right, I need to see it with my eyes and feel it with my flesh. I don't want man, I can't handle this lofty thing that's coming from the heavens. And there was people that they wanted to get over their lusts. And a lot of people died in what's called Kivot HaTa'ava, the burial of the lusts. It's one of the names of the 42 journeys that we went on. One of the places that we reached was called Kivot HaTa'ava, the burial site of lusts. Pshat, all this tradition we have, is there all the people that were talking and making these complaints that had such lusts, they died there and they were buried there. Baal Shem Tov says also in life, we have to look at all 42 journeys and see it for ourselves too. Kivota Tava, maybe it's a place where you could bury all of your lusts. Not that you, the lustful one, will be buried. Bury your lust there. But the pshat of the Torah was that these people that had such lust that they were buried in this place called Kivota Tava. Aval gam ata, now too. That was on the man. Reb Natan is coming to teach us same idea of the man, that you could in your mind have any taste you want. All the satiation, all the vitamins, you just have to want it and then think it. Nowadays, the same test is happening in our Torah. Ki lo nitna Torah ele lo chle haman. It says in Chazal, the Torah was only given to the people that ate man. We just talked about the people that didn't want to eat man. So what does it mean to be a person that ate man in our generation? In bread, there's hidden in that bread, in man, in Torah, in lechem, in bread, all the tastes of the world. כי חיותו מהרמזים שבדעת האמיתי של הצדיקים שהוא קיום התורה לנצח. The vitality that you receive, it comes from the hints in the mind, the true mind of the true tzaddikim, which is the existence of all of the Torah for eternity, שבו כלולים כל הטעמים של כל השכליות והחוכמות בשבועולם. Included in that place is all of the different minds, all of the different thoughts, all of the different wisdoms that could be in the whole entire world. Meaning, the Torah is only given to people who eat man. What does it mean to eat man now? Do you believe the Torah has everything you need in it? Are you willing to give up Tony Robbins because you have the Baal Shem Tov and Reb Nachman? And for sure they have the same thing, if not way more and even better. More pure, especially if you're a Jew. Do you believe you can get everything out of the Torah? Do you believe that Hashem, who gave you a piece of bread or whatever other meal you have in front of you, is enough to feed you and satiate you, and that's exactly what you need, and everything that you need is inside the meal that was placed in front of you? Can you make the most of what's coming in front of your plate right now and what you have given to you? Can you find all of godliness in what you have in front of you? If you have the will to do that, then you can take the bread and taste anything you want. Like the story Reb Nachman gives us in the ninth teaching, the ninth story of Sipurei Masiyot, of the wise and the simpleton, that the simpleton didn't have a lot of money. He had bread, he had one coat, he had water. But when he wanted a steak, he asked his wife for a steak, and she put a piece of bread in front of him. He said, "Wow, what a steak! And the gravy on it? Ah!" What was he really eating? Stale bread. But it had everything in it. Everything was there. Those kind of people get the Torah. The Torah is given to the people that know that everything is included inside that one little dot inside the first bet of Bereshit. The whole world is included inside the dot inside the first letter of Bereshit. Everything is there. Everything you need is there, and it can last for eternity. Only question that we have for you is, do you want it, and do you believe it? If you want it, you can believe it, and you can taste it, and you can have it. And then the man provides all of the lust that you might have in a godly way, coming down from heaven. It's all going on in your mind. Just how do you approach the world? Bezat Hashem, this is a little bit of teachings on the parasha. May we all be zochet to go deeper and deeper and learn these lessons and to internalize them, to know that there is what's called Para Aduma, which is a paradox, and it is confusing, to know that we just have to keep moving forward. We just have to keep going forward. And a few weeks ago, we talked about this in the parasha, last week, the week before. This same people that are complaining all the time and they begged for meat, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'll make sure you eat meat. Not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days, not a month. It's going to come out your nose. I'll make sure how much you eat meat." What's the idea of all of these ideas of 1, 2... One day is Yom Kippur. It's a chiddush of Rav Meir Eliyahu Shlita. One day is Yom Kippur. 2 days, Rosh Hashanah. 5 days, all of the fast days that we have. 10 days, 10 days of tshuva. 20 days, 3 weeks. 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av. And the 30 days, the month of Elul. the more we chase after all of these lusts and these bodily needs or wants that we think we have, and we have a ta'ava, we have a lust for something that is not godly, to ingest it and consume it in a way that's not godly, so then we need not just one day of tshuva, not just 2 days of tshuva, not just 5 days of tshuva, not just 20 days of tshuva, not just 30 days. We need every opportunity that we get until it comes out of our nose, until all of these lusts get out of us, so we can exhale them outwardly. We need this purification. We need to know that all of the things that we have in life need to be engaged with in a holy way. And now a little promotion. If you made it 30 minutes through this class, aligned with all of these topics that we talked about today, Bezat Hashem, soon I will be announcing and putting out there an opportunity to join a class that we'll be doing, a 6-week online class on Zoom that is connected to how to engage and be involved in all of the mundane needs that we have in this world. Eating, sleeping, breathing, everything that is a need that we have for our body just to stay alive and exist in this world. How are we meant to do it in a holy way? How do you eat with the right intentions? What is eating to begin with? Why did God create a world where we have to eat? So over 6 weeks, we're going to cover all of these topics and get deeper on these ideas. You're more than welcome to join up, to sign up, to reach out if you want more information. Bezat Hashem, everything will be done on Zoom. You can join live. There will be meditations involved, questions and answers, and everything will be recorded if you can't make it at that time. If you're interested, leave a comment below. Reach out to me. Bezat Hashem, we'd love to learn together. Shabbat Shalom.